No, I was going to be preaching this Sunday. This pastor was going to be back. So preparing is always different. And I pray, God, what do you want me to say? And he said, just listen. So I listened for a while. And then he said, your sermon should be about faith. And I'm going, faith? I am in a church that's so small, the only reason they exist is their faith. And he said, now study. So I did. Now, the younger kids are welcome to go with Justine. So Justine, if you want to take the younger kids away, she has some different Bible verses to talk about. And the kids that sometimes meet with me, so far it's all young men. We need to get some young women in there. But young men, can you come up forward? Because you guys are helping me. So please come up forward. You can sit here in the front, or you can sit in the second row behind Jack. And if Jack doesn't behave, you can pick on him. No, Jack can go back with you. What helps me is these young people in my last church, they had a group that sat together. And these young youth can sometimes correspond with me and we can talk as I'm preaching. Today we won't have a lot of interaction, guys. But I can help you see. The last church actually called this area the pit. Is that true? Yep, one of the kids in that area used to sit in the pit. So this is the new pit for the church. As the pastor's preaching, come on up and sit in the pit. Because I think it's called the pit because he sometimes spit, our last pastor did. No. I made that up. It wasn't the truth. But as I went to study faith, what God put on my heart was a story. A story of an old person. Think of an old person that's lived into their... Give me an age, guys. What's old? 35? Great. I'm past old. Okay. Let's go for ancient. What's really, really, really old?
150.
Okay, 150 is a real old. 80. I'll go for 80. And the story was about a woman, but we're going to make it... Oh, we'll make it about a general person because politically correctness in America, right? This old person had a lot of problems in life. Let's say the person had a drinking problem. Let's say the person had a problem with gambling. Put whatever problem you can think this person could have, socialness, this person could not get along with, socialize with others. Just a crabby old codger. Okay? Yeah, don't point your finger at me, Jack, because you still got to go home with me. But think about it. And the family has always cared about this person. The family's been there when they didn't have money for rent to help. And all of a sudden, one day, the person's health is failing. And there's nothing anybody can do. And the family comes together. And the doctors come together to talk to the person, the old codger, along with the kids and the grandkids. And they tell this person, there's nothing we can do. You're going to have faith in God. And the old grumpy person says, great, it's come to this, faith. It will always come to this. No matter we are old or young, we need to think about our faith. Thomas didn't know this was my sermon. And he talked to me about, he was telling somebody about his faith. And that he should come to church, come to church. And the person says, oh, it's not for me. And Thomas says, oh, I was a sinner. A horrendous sinner. I'd tell people I was, what was some of the different religions? Buddhist, Hindu, Jehovah Witness. He'd tell whatever it had to say to get rid of the person. But what got him into church was somebody invited him to play basketball. And then shared the faith after he had a relationship. So this sermon today, I want you to think about the world. I want to think about your faith. And then I want you to think about what you're going to do with it. Our world seems to think that we don't have to really have a faith or a God. Wouldn't you agree? Our world doesn't really think that we need to have a faith. But sometimes, Some people need a faith. So they come up with, well, kind of like Thomas was saying, I'm a Jehovah Witness vegan, whatever religion you want to put out there, just so that you have something to believe in, something to have faith. But you need to believe in God. And let's say we do believe in God. But do we sometimes fake it out in the world? Here, we can be very open about our faith. But we look at, when we go into the workplace or the grocery store, do we take our faith and put it underneath a bowl and kind of hide it so that nobody really needs to know that we're a Christian? And even when we come to church, are we kind of reserved? We don't want to go up and tell anybody about the miracle we've seen or what's happening in our lives or the miracles that are happening because somebody might be a little uncomfortable about our faith. That's what we're going to talk about today. So before I go any farther, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving me the ability and time to study about faith, for putting it on my heart. May I speak the words you want your body to hear, your people to hear. May their ears be opened. May their hearts be lifted up. And may my words be your words, Lord. Amen. Today we're going to talk about basic faith, the fundamental truth about faith. In fact, last Wednesday, your elder Ed, the oldest elder, the one with the beard, who kind of looks like Santa Claus. Yep, guys, you know who it is. He said to me, well, what's your sermon going to be on? What's actually going to be the Bible verse? And I said, there's going to be many Bible verses. And his response was, oh. Now, I think he only wanted one. But there's going to be more because I couldn't give you just one. Because I studied faith. It's so large. So we're going to start, though, with Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe and He that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We cannot please God if we don't believe in Him. Doesn't that make basic sense? If we don't have faith, if we don't have faith and believe in Him is a negative statement. Now let's turn that into a positive statement. If we believe in Him through our faith is the start of our relationship. So until you believe, you don't even have a relationship to be able to be started. Therefore, with faith, we are blessed with the rewards that God gives us. And since we know a lot of the Bible, we know the rewards is everlasting life. We see in Revelation 21, verses 16 through 7. He said this to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost, and from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Jesus said this. It wasn't just a fluke by anybody. It wasn't John Herbis saying this. It was Jesus saying this. Have faith, and I will give you everlasting water. You will inherit everything by believing and having faith. Now, faith through Jesus is what we're talking about. For Jesus overcame our sin. And that could be a whole other sermon in itself. Right, guys? Sure. Okay, you want to hear another sermon right after this? No. Okay, just one sermon a day. Jack gets lots of sermons from me, guys. Just to get off the subject a little bit, the poor guy gets a sermon probably every day. But we're looking at John 3:16. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in faith, shall not perish and have eternal life. So we have the promise of living forever with God in that verse. The Bible tells me to have faith throughout the Bible in Jesus. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the Bible. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek, or for us, the Gentile. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, but the righteousness of man shall live by faith. The righteousness of man should live by faith. It's a pretty plain statement to say about righteousness. A righteous faith. Do I make myself righteous? Hopefully you all say no and shake your head. No, the only one that can make us righteous is God Himself. In fact, Mark 11:21-23. So Mark 11, verses 21 through 23. Peter reminded and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Do you guys remember that story about the fig tree? That Jesus said it had no fruit, so He cursed it, and it shriveled up? Well, that was meant for this story right now. Because Jesus went on to say, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, so He must have been pointing right to a mountain. If anybody says to this mountain right here, go jump into the ocean, into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes that what he said will happen, it will be done. When we see prayers and people pray from their heart, the prayer that Dave asked for his daughter, God, please watch over. We prayed, I believe it was Monday night for Sue. Was it Monday, guys? My days were all blurring together this whole week. Tuesday, we prayed. We prayed that we'd find out why Sue was there. Kevin told me he was 90% sure that they know what the problem was. I am 100% sure today when I stood down there and found out that their grandchild accepted Jesus Christ, I believe that that happened for that day, Sue. I think your prayer was answered doubly. We know why it happened. It says that your grandson will be all in eternity with heaven and has a faith from this day forward. I think we see miracles and we have to stop and say, where is our faith? The righteous do not live on their own righteousness because we do not have righteousness. God is the one that's made us righteous. Paul tells us, it is very clear that our faith is related to the gospel of Jesus, and our faith in the gospel goes together to produce salvation and the ability to be with God and do His will. In Philippians 3:8-10, what more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you know, I believe Pastor Bruce would agree with me, if this building would be wiped out and not a single person hurt and we go to heaven, what does this building matter? In all of eternity, does this building really have a value? I hope not. I hope that we have relationships that have value. So let's go on and look at, therefore, for the sake I have lost everything. He's lost everything. I consider it rubbish. fact, what just came on my heart to stop. You remember when Jesus was speaking about tearing down the temple that took everything to build? And he said, tear it down, and in 3 days, it'll be resurrected. He wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about the temple of being him, Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. That I may be gain Christ and be found in him. It is better to have a relationship with Christ. Not to have righteousness of my own that comes from the law being the Old Testament, the righteousness of the Old Testament. If I could do everything in the Old Testament, wouldn't it be me doing it? It is impossible to do everything right in the Old Testament. And it was meant not that we would follow the Old Testament to make ourselves righteous. It was meant to show us sin. So let's go on. But which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Our gift of faith is what makes us righteous. In verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Through our faith, each one of us are going to be becoming like Jesus Christ. I cannot justify myself. You cannot justify yourself. It is God that justifies us, but it is through our faith. In fact, I apologize. We don't have a... It came to me right now to think about Romans 3 after thinking about what was said earlier. Romans 3, verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short for the glory of God. You guys, my heart is just pumping right now. These young men are opening Bibles up to look exactly to make sure I'm telling you the truth. And I guarantee if Jack could find me not telling the truth, he'd tell on me. But through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. Hey, you guys down in the pit, thank you. Thanks for keeping me honest. This justification before God is what directly gives us our salvation, is that we need to have faith. But let's say, how about you guys? I haven't visited you for a little while over here. I'm a good person, though. I have faith. How many times have we heard that in our relationships? I'm a good person. God's not going to send me to hell. I mean, I do all the right things. I just really don't believe in that religious stuff. I believe that God is going to let me in heaven because I'm good. I believe that, I'm not to pick on you, Ed, back there. Twice I've picked on Ed today, and I look up to him because he's taller than me. But since I'm a vegan and I don't eat meat, I believe, and I'm just picking on that because it's something that's odd, I believe that, you know, whatever you believe or whatever somebody's telling you they believe isn't true. Because that God does not exist. I'm going to be honest with you. It's idolatry. I cannot take my personal beliefs and make them true. Part of my sermon, actually, I cut out was I was going to take a ball and drop it. And I was going to say, I believe the ball is going to stay there in midair. Boom, it falls. I believe it's going to stay there. Boom, it falls. And I think it's worth bringing back this part of my sermon because of no matter how hard I want to believe, unless we manipulate it, it's not going to happen because that God doesn't exist. And then I was going to show you about a water balloon. My wife says I couldn't do this one. And I was going to say, I got a water balloon here and I believe it's going to break. And when I threw it at the pit and it broke, I'd be right. Pastor said not to bring water or coffee into the sanctuary, so my wife told me that one was off bounds. And since this is being recorded, I'd be busted. So, but I really think we need to think about it. When others tell us, well, I believe, listen, be respectful. And then say to them, I don't believe that God exists. Because we have a Bible here that has fact. It's not fiction. This is a true book. It's used as a reference, as a guide, like a manual in your car or a manual to, well, nobody has VCRs anymore. I'm kind of dating myself. What would you guys use a manual for? A cell phone. A manual to a cell phone, because we get lots of them. It's a manual to our life. If you look at historical documents and just using it as a science, this is a science book. It should be used in our schools because it's fact. Because it's a historical document, it cannot be proven wrong. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls in Minneapolis here that proves that this book is true. So that's why I didn't have one Bible verse. I had many for today. So let's look at referring to another part of the Bible. Romans 3, 3 through 4. What if some did not have faith? What if some didn't have faith? Let me ask you this. Would you consider the President of the United States an important person? I would. How about the President of the UN? Another very important person. Whoever you want to put out there that's important, if that person said, I don't have faith and I don't believe in God, would they be right? Well, here it's saying, let's go on. What if someone did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Now, this great person, could they override God? Of course not. Not at all. Let God be true, and let every man be what? Say it again, a what? A liar. Because their God does not exist. As it is written, so that you may be provided right when you speak. When I speak you the truth, I need to go to the reference manual to find the truth. Because, and it will be prevailed when you are judged. I will be judged someday. And the blood of Jesus is going to cover me and allow me to have righteousness with God. The truth is what is real. If you do not know Him, and you do not have faith, I'm not going to make it really nice. You're going to hell. You are going to hell if you do not have faith in relationship with Jesus Christ. So no, I know a lot of you guys have faith. That's why you're here. But I think this sermon's about, how do you tell your friends at school? How do you tell others about your faith? When they say, well, I believe, and you know it's not biblically sound, how do you come alongside them? We know in Genesis 1:1, God made all things. Correct? Did God make everything, guys? Yes. Does He need my money? Thank you. I got to know. Does He need my talents? No. Because God created everything. He can just recreate it again. But it's a blessing to do it for Him. And it's for me. It is my belief through Him that I receive my salvation. And I believe it's the true love of God that I need Him. He doesn't need me. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And you are filled with the inexpressible. I had no problem saying that earlier. But I get so wound up here, my reading is so hard, but it's inexpressible. Glorious joy. Think about that. When you're going to be in the midst of the Father, after we pass on, the joy it's going to be. That you receive the goal of faith and salvation of your soul. Peter had faith. The faith. Let's define exactly what is our faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is knowing something when we can't see it. Well, how? I need rock hard. I need to know that it's real. These are really here, right? I can see them. But think about it. When we go outside and you feel the wind, and the wind is moving back and forth, can you grab onto a piece of wind? Have you ever tried that, Herbie? No. Go outside and grab it. The first person can come back and show me that I got a hold of it. I got wind under control. You can't grab wind, but you can feel it. Have you ever seen when a tornado or wind came through and how the trees are all toppled over and things are damaged? We can see the evidence of wind, but we can't see wind. We can see the evidence of Christ Jesus here on earth. But physically, I can't grab him. But I know he's there and I know he exists. Because the Word tells me, and I see it. I see miracles happening. And I see answer to prayer. I believe more in Jesus Christ than I do the wind. Because God the Father is the one that made the wind. Romans 1:16. As you're speaking to somebody, think about this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek. Hey, any Greeks over here? What are you? Come on, speak to me, guys. Any Gentiles out there? Sounds good, guys. So we're the Gentiles, we're the Greeks. He came for us, for our salvation. If you believe in the Bible as a historical document, which it is, use it, read it. In fact, let's find out what James had to say. James 2, verse 17, guys. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now that's a controversial statement. What else did James have to say? Because James really believed in faith. James 2, 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead. He's talking about our physical body. So faith without works is dead also. I think James is trying to look at, he's not telling us that our works and our merits will give us faith. He's saying if you have faith, you will see it alive. And you will see how it actually works. In conclusion, somebody have 12 noon high up. Beep, 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 beep. In conclusion, we are looking at our faith. In fact, that was actually an elder that was doing that to me. Timing my up. Oh, it's noon. Let's go. Come on. Hurry it up. Not to pick on you, Dan. Sorry, I did. In conclusion, the world might think they have religion. The world might think they have faith, but they might be misled. Are you willing to allow a friend to be misled? Are you willing not to share your faith with a friend because you're uncomfortable? You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, because it's a great thing to think about. I'll come up with a new analogy someday, I hope. But if you could find gas for 99 cents, cheap gas, unlimited, you're not going to run out, and it's a really, really good deal, would you share it with a friend to save them money and help a friend out? For you guys, let's think what it would be. Candy bars. A place that sells candy bars for a quarter. The big ones. Would you tell your friends? Of course you'd share. What about your faith? Are you taking the time to build a relationship with somebody to share your faith? And if you shared your faith with all your friends, you have another problem. You need to find new friends and reach out and get to know someone else, because in Matthew 28:19, we are called to tell others about Christ. We have a song special at the end. Thank you so much. Yes, Gloria? Amen.